This is NBC Nightly News, Wednesday, November 6th. Reported by John Chancellor with David Brinkley's Journal.
Good evening. Nearly all the votes have been counted in the 1974 midterm election, and as we saw last night, it was a very good year for the Democrats. The House of Representatives in the 94th Congress will be more than two-thirds Democratic. 291 Democrats will be there for sure, a gain of 43 seats, the biggest majority in a decade. Two races are still undecided. The new Senate will have 61 Democrats, short of a two-thirds majority, but a gain of three seats, and the race in North Dakota is still too close to call. And the Democrats had a gain of four governorships at least, which gives them 36 state houses on our charts. The Republicans apparently have 18. There's one independent in Maine and one contest undecided in Alaska. How did the Democrats and Republicans in Washington react to this? Here are two reports.
Democratic Party leaders are claiming that the election constitutes a popular mandate for the president and the new Congress to take stronger and quicker action to improve the economy. They said they hope that Mr. Ford will interpret the election results the same way they do. And if he comes up with the right programs, they said, he will receive their cooperation and their support. But they emphasized if the president doesn't provide the leadership, then the leaders of the Democratic Congress will provide it themselves.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm also saying I don't think we're going to wait very long to find out whether it's there. I think we're going to move forward.
I would think that it would be impossible for the president not to be impressed by this election.
The president is the leader, and he has the powers constitutionally to pull these things together. But if he doesn't, Congress has a responsibility to step into that vacuum, and it will.
So the leaders of this new, strongly Democratic Congress told the president today, if you don't act, we will, and now we have the votes to do it. A blunt warning that President Ford is going to find the new 94th Congress much tougher to deal with. Douglas Kiker, NBC News, Washington.
If the president was disheartened by Republican losses in Congress, his face didn't show it as he kicked off the Christmas seal drive at a picture session with singer Vicky Carr. Mr. Ford did not mention the elections. All talk of politics here today was left up to his aides. Privately, Ford strategists say they're not too bothered by Democratic gains in the Senate, but the House is another matter. One Ford aide said the new House will be substantially more liberal than the present one, and that means trouble for the president. White House Press Secretary Ron Nessen seemed to hint that Mr. Ford will be dealing from weakness, not from strength, in dealing with the new Congress. Nessen said, Mr. Ford will go more than halfway with the new Congress. Nessen also said the president does not believe the election results will hurt chances of passage of his 5% surtax proposal. But other White House aides are not so optimistic. Late today, Senate Democratic leader Mike Mansfield came to the White House to discuss 40 pieces of legislation the president wants passed between now and the time the lame duck Congress adjourns. But Mr. Ford's advisors are privately skeptical that the most controversial items, the surtax and the Rockefeller nomination, will be acted on by the end of this year. John Cochran, NBC News, at the White House.
And there's one other indication of Democratic strength. All the returns aren't in yet, but it looks as though the Democrats made sweeping gains in state legislatures all across the country. Also on the program tonight, we'll have a report on former Governor James Rhodes' bid for a comeback in Ohio. From California, we'll have a report on one of the most important gubernatorial contests between Edmund G. Brown and Houston Flournoy. Those stories and others after this.
Teacher had a tendency to be a morning grump. All the kids thought breakfast would lift her from her slump. They put the milk on Kellogg's cornflakes.
Now eat them all up.
They've got eight vitamins and iron.
Eat them all up.
She started smiling.
Laughing.
Golly, wouldn't you?
She loved that fresh corn flavor.
Eat them all up. Put the milk on Kellogg's cornflakes.
Kellogg's cornflakes. It's America's favorite ready-to-eat cereal.
I'd like you to take a close look at this bread. The color is light brown, and the texture, a unique blend of whole grain wheat and whole grain rye. There's bran, defatted flax seed, and other nutritious ingredients, including pure golden honey. This isn't ordinary bread. It's Roman meal, the good-tasting light brown bread. Roman meal, natural whole grain goodness. The Roman Meal Company thought you'd like to know.
In the Ohio governorship contest, the Republican challenger, former Governor James Rhodes, conceded defeat last night to incumbent Democrat John Gilligan. NBC News and others called Gilligan the winner. But a later count showed Rhodes ahead by 10,000 votes out of almost 3 million cast. There may be a recount. Jack Paxton has more on the story.
Most important thing in Ohio is...
Late last night, after nearly everybody, including NBC News, had declared Rhodes defeated, he made a concession speech.
I have no comment on the failure of my election. I think that's passed. I'm here to congratulate the governor, and I am not going to try to place any responsibility on any other person except myself. We lost the election, that's it.
Rhodes said he had probably run his last race, then he went home and went to bed, believing he had lost. This morning, to his surprise, he was back, apparently a winner.
I relied upon the networks and also the news service. So when they pronounced me as the victim, I want to say that this is the livest funeral in Ohio this morning.
Rhodes said he wasn't making a victory speech, said he'd wait for the official count. He was able to do so well, apparently, because he got unexpected support in some urban and industrial areas that usually vote heavily Democratic.
Young people here. How are you?
This afternoon, Rhodes' opponent, John Gilligan, held a news conference.
While the electorate was generally approving other people on the ticket, and as I say, inferentially at least, supporting the policies and programs of the administration, evidently a majority of the voters bought the argument that I personally is not capable of fulfilling the responsibilities of the office of governor.
It'll be at least 10 days before it's known who will be governor of Ohio. Some people say it'll be a month. Some say it'll be Christmas before the whole thing's ironed out. Jack Paxton, NBC News, Columbus.
In Kansas, there were two very close contests for governor and senator. Republicans won them both. Bob Jamieson has more in this report from Topeka.
Republicans in Kansas may have been the happiest in the nation last night. They elected Robert Bennett governor, the first Republican to win the state house in 8 years.
I think we've won the election, so I want to...
And they re-elected Senator Robert Dole, who fought back against a Watergate handicap that had him far down in the polls only 6 weeks ago. Dole was GOP national chairman when Watergate occurred, and after that, he was one of Richard Nixon's strongest supporters. For those reasons, last night's victory was all the sweeter.
I really believe that as we look across the wreckage of Watergate, Kansas is one of the bright spots in America, and that goes without saying. We've known it for a long, long time out here.
Dr. Bill.
The defeat was a bitter disappointment for Dole's opponent, Congressman Bill Roy. He had led throughout the summer and into the fall. Roy, a physician, came closer to beating a Republican senatorial candidate than any Kansas Democrat in two decades. Today, a relieved Dole said it was a terrible year to have run as a Republican.
We had to fight hard to just keep even, and we kept seeing a decline in the polls, and we believed those polls. We knew we were falling with Richard Nixon. And then about the time Gerald Ford came along, we started up, and then he thought of the pardon and then amnesty, and then we thought, when he thought of everything, he thought of holding up the wheat sale. So those three things were of no great help to us.
The senator also said he didn't completely overcome Watergate in winning re-election, because in 1968, when he was first elected to the Senate, he won with 60% of the vote. And last night, Senator Dole won with 51%. Bob Jamieson, NBC News, Topeka, Kansas.
There was also a close race in California. Democrat Edmund Brown, Jr. defeated Republican Houston Flournoy for governor. Californians also elected a Democratic lieutenant governor, Mervyn Dimoli, a black man. Brown began his campaign as a heavy favorite over Flournoy, but he won by only 177,000 votes out of more than 6 million cast, less than 3%. Jack Perkins has a report.
Edmund G. Brown, Jr. said today he was not unhappy about the close margin. He was happy to have won.
I'm obviously happy about the victory. It's a great challenge. I approach it with humility and an awareness of the tremendous magnitude of the task. I'm going to meet with Governor Reagan and key members of his staff tomorrow at 11 o'clock in Sacramento. I intend to get right down to work.
Jerry Brown said he will not make extravagant promises what he will do as governor. And in that spirit, when asked what's the first thing he'll do when he gets to Sacramento tomorrow, he answered, get off the airplane. He promises to serve his full term, not to try to use the office for national politicking.
I intend in this state to do the best job possible. And I see the great opportunity is not political game playing, posturing around the political waters throughout this country, but in revitalizing the agencies, cleaning up the environment, making it possible for people to go to school at our great universities, reviewing our water resources policy. These things take effort. They're going to take a lot of hard work, and I'm starting tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Also elected in California, Mervyn Dimoli, also a liberal Democrat, though he and Brown have not been close in the past, did not campaign as a team. Dimoli, born in the West Indies, a naturalized American citizen, becomes Jerry Brown's lieutenant governor. Jack Perkins, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Democratic Congresswoman Ella Grasso was elected governor of Connecticut by a large margin. She will be the fourth woman governor in American history and the first one whose husband didn't hold the job before her. Women candidates for governor lost in two other states, but women did gain a seat in Congress, a lieutenant governorship, and more state and local offices than ever before.
My heart burns back. This pressure must be gas again.
Digel has told you that acid indigestion and heartburn are often accompanied by gas. Digel calls it gasid indigestion. Now, this report from the U.S. government confirms that the only ingredients recognized effective against both acid indigestion and gas are an antacid combined with simethicone. And that's exactly what Digel is. No antacid alone relieves like Digel does. In regular mint flavor, and now new lemon orange.
Hey, there's something I'd like to show you. Come on, it's in the kitchen. It's this. Morton Light Salt. I use it instead of regular salt. What's the difference? It still has the same good flavor of regular salt, but it has only half the sodium. It's that simple. Half the sodium, the same salt flavor. And wouldn't you just know, it's from Morton.
Morton Light Salt. Good salt flavor with only half the sodium.
There are many more names being mentioned as presidential and vice presidential possibilities as a result of yesterday's Democratic victories. Three Democratic senators were on that list before: Lloyd Benson of Texas, Walter Mondale of Minnesota, and Henry Jackson of Washington. But here are some others. Governor-elect Hugh Carey of New York. His landslide made him an important Democratic figure. Senator Birch Bayh of Indiana, who has tried for the presidential nomination before. He beat a strong Republican candidate yesterday. Governor Dale Bumpers of Arkansas. He will be Senator Dale Bumpers before long. Governor Reuben Askew of Florida, a progressive reelected in a conservative state. Senator-elect John Glenn of Ohio, another big winner yesterday. And, as we've seen, Edmund G. Brown, Jr. of California, governor-elect of the largest of the 50 states. George Wallace was also reelected governor of Alabama yesterday. He still has presidential ambitions inside or outside the Democratic Party. Kenley Jones reports.
Wallace wound up with about 85% of the vote. He polled well among all groups of voters, blacks, whites, blue collar, and white collar. It was an overwhelming victory, one which provides a solid base of support for a presidential campaign. And Wallace knows it.
They have come to know that is, those in political posture in our country who are strong and powerful have come to recognize that the people of Alabama are good people and they are compassionate people. And we are now noticed as we've never been noticed before. And I want to say that we're going to be noticed in the future just about as much as we've been noticed in the past. In fact, we're probably going to be noticed more.
Although Wallace said last night he will decide sometime next year whether to run for president, there are few who believe he has not already made up his mind. The only question is whether he will run as a Democrat or as a third-party candidate. An early indication may come next month when the Democrats hold their so-called mini-convention in Kansas City. Wallace plans to attend and to make himself heard on the direction the party should take. He has said repeatedly that if the Democrats don't listen, he will take his votes elsewhere in 1976. And as his election this year shows, he can still get a lot of votes. Kimley Jones, NBC News, Montgomery.
Independence is a quality that still is highly thought of in New England. Maine voters proved that by electing James Longley, an independent candidate, as governor. Longley had never been in politics before. He ran because both parties there ignored the report of a good government group which he headed. Here's more from Richard Hunt.
Longley said his five children persuaded him to run after he headed a state study on how to cut spending. He ran as an independent because he'd promised the study would be nonpartisan. Longley described himself as just an average guy.
I guess just basically an average guy that is going to try to bring some business practices to government that are bad. We need it. I think we're living in a society that now recognizes a responsibility for their fellow human beings. But there isn't any way that we can continue to provide for human needs in this country or this state unless we start addressing ourselves to the fiscal responsibility that will guarantee the continuity of these programs that are needed. And when President Ford says that America must indeed tighten its belt, I immediately recognize that President Ford hadn't been standing at the mill gates at midnight with Jim Longley. Because if he'd been standing at the mill gates, he would know the working men and women in Maine, at least, haven't got any notches left in their belt to tighten.
The governor-elect lives in a modest house in Lewiston, runs an insurance business, and considers former President Harry Truman to be his model of what a public servant should be. His first objective, to cut the budget.
James Longley may be a political oddity, but he's not an oddball, nor a rustic, nor a clown. He appears to be a man who tries to think for himself, and who now has a chance to find out how that works in government. Richard Hunt, NBC News, Lewiston, Maine.
All 15 black members of the House of Representatives were reelected, and a 16th black congressman was elected from Tennessee. All of them are Democrats. Black lieutenant governors were elected in two states, Mervyn Dimely in California, whom we've seen this evening, and George Brown in Colorado. And the number of black members of the lower house of the Alabama state legislature went from 2 to 13.
First impressions begin at your front door. Unless protected, your door is exposed to more drying wind, sunlight, and water than any wood you own. Replacing this door is costly. What it needs is something made just for wood. It needs Scott's Liquid Gold. Four different ingredients penetrate into the wood, reducing weather damage, helping hide scratches, and replacing the lost natural elements. When the appearance of your home is important to you, then it's important to use Liquid Gold.
You really should stop smoking.
I know. I've tried, and I will quit.
Until you can quit, at least use Aquafilter.
Why?
Because it removes an average of 75% of the tar and nicotine from cigarette smoke. Aquafilter uses water to filter and cool the smoke. One filter to a pack, then just throw it away. Until you quit, doesn't it make sense to use Aquafilter?
Richard Nixon's doctor said today that his patient is showing slow, gradual improvement. And today in Long Beach, California, reporters and cameramen were allowed up to the 7th floor, the Nixon floor, of Memorial Hospital. Roy Neal has the story.
Today's medical report said that x-rays made here show that fluid in Mr. Nixon's left lung is diminishing. A minor case of pneumonia in the right lung is being treated with antibiotics. Also, intensive care nurse Andrea Evanson described for the first time publicly what happened when her patient, Richard Nixon, went into a crisis.
It began with my assistance and a corpsman's assistance helping him to stand, at which time he stated he felt very weak. We immediately put him back into bed. I checked his blood pressure. It had dropped considerably from previous levels. His respiratory rate increased. His pulse rate increased likewise. Classic indications of cardiovascular shock. I immediately put the head of the bed in a flat position to promote circulation to the brain. I gave him oxygen. I increased his intravenous rate. And when I was sure from my own personal belief that he was safe at that time, I left to call his attending physicians.
Do you ever think you might lose the patient?
No.
Since the crisis, Mr. Nixon has been improving slowly and steadily for more than a week. But his doctors say it's still too soon to make a prognosis. Roy Neal, NBC News, Long Beach, California.
Yesterday, NBC News polled thousands of voters all across the country as they left the polling booths. We learned that there were various things which hurt the Republicans, among them, of course, the fact that in midterm elections, the party in the White House almost always loses. But there were some other highly interesting things we did learn. That 20% of those who had voted Republican in 1972 switched to the Democrats this year. They switched in part because of the Nixon pardon, Watergate, and the economy. We also polled members of Congress and their challengers, and we learned that the House of Representatives, which will sit in January, will have fewer members who describe themselves as conservatives, a more liberal Congress coming up. The next House of Representatives, for example, will have more members who favor a reduction in defense spending. We were also able to compare our figures on the new Congress with the information we got from the voters yesterday, and we learned something which is quite interesting. Among members of the new House of Representatives, only 24% favor wage and price controls. But the voters yesterday in all 50 states told us they favored controls by 53%. So there's a big difference between the mood of the voters on this subject and the intentions of the people they elected. David Brinkley's journal tonight comes to us from Washington, and it's about yesterday's election. David?
The Republicans had the misfortune to be standing there in power when the American people were finally forced by events to admit they had been had and responded with the only weapon available to them, voting Democratic. If there'd been another weapon available, they might have used that. The figures show great numbers of people doubt either party will put on any great show of stopping inflation, undoing the pardon, reducing the taxes and extravagance, or ending the political dominance of the interest groups always hanging around Washington passing out money. So there is very little for the Democrats to crow about. They won a beauty contest with only two contenders when one of them was overweight and had warts. It was said the election would be an exercise in aggressive indifference or dynamic apathy, that the turnout would be small because nobody cared. Well, the turnout was not that small, and it was clear the voters cared very much and did the only thing they could do, send a message by voting against the ins. Our figures show the message was one of generalized irritation and discontent with inflation and a lot more. An older lady in North Carolina said, "If we vote Republican in November, we'll be eating rabbit by August." Well, that and a lot of other messages arrived yesterday. It will be instructive to see if Washington listens to them or continues, as it has for a generation, listening mainly to itself. John?
Thank you, David. That's the news, warts and all. Good night for NBC News.